Good morning, everyone. I hope you had a great Christmas and a good New Year. Jen and I had a wonderful time. We saw both sides of our family. And I want to tell you, my mom has gotten into this deal where she crochets little animals like this size. They're very cute and cartoonish, and she gives them to Macon. So for Christmas, she put one animal in every box and made like 12 of them. He kept opening more and more, and he'd get a duck and a goose and a cow, you know, pig, all those. But the most fun that he has with them is he loves to take them and throw them into his crib. At which point he takes them and says, okay, pig, night-night, or cow, night-night. And then when that's done, he wants me to pick him up and put him in the crib so he can throw them out of the crib, which is fine. And I taught him that when he throws them out, he has to say, fly. So you can imagine him in there. He picks it up and he says, okay, squirrel, fly. And then he'll pick it up and he'll get another one and it'll be like beaver, which always comes out like beaver, fly. And he throws them across the room. And my personal favorite is actually the squirrel one, because when he throws it, I think flying squirrel is actually a thing. But he had a good Christmas, and we had a good Christmas. And today we are, or last week, we started a new series that we're calling Reboot. And we are talking about how our mission is sort of being rebooted for the new year. And so just as a reminder, we talked about what the mission of First Christian Church of Perry is. And it there are three components, which are connecting with God, growing in Christ, and serving others. Which means that we this is sort of what we are committed to helping people go through. This is what we want of our members and really all who attend to grow deeper in Christ. So that's connecting with God is what we talked about last week. And we went through all sorts of different ways in which that happens. And we talked about the Israelites during the period in which Israel was sort of rebooting. That is, after the exile, when they came back to Israel and had to kind of start again. And the first thing they did, as we talked about last week, was build an altar so that in their Old Testament covenant way of doing things, they could connect with God better. And this week, we are moving on to the second element of our mission that we are rebooting for this new year. And that element is growing in Christ. And I would like to get into Scripture and sort of look at a few components of this. So, if you've got your Bibles, I'd love for you to open up to Nehemiah chapter 8, although we're technically going to begin in the last verse of chapter 7. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 73, moving into 8. Remember, this is still the context of coming back right after the exile. We're still talking about the guys who are trying to rebuild and get it going again, guys like Ezra, Nehemiah, and others in that period. And this is their reboot. And after building the altar in order to connect with God, here comes another part. Chapter 7, verse 73, the very tail end. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So, on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand, and he read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men and women and others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. I want you to reread that part. All the people listened attentively. So wake up. No, sorry. Here we have the Israelites, after building the altar and reconnecting with God, they now need to go a step further. And they need to not only reconnect with God, but to ultimately learn and grow closer to Him. So they're seeking to understand God's ways through the study of His Word and His commandments. And notice how seriously they take it. They gather in this large crowd. They're all standing there listening as Ezra reads the law up on a platform. He reads from, did you catch how long he read? Daybreak until noon. You guys would fire me if I preached past 11:30, right? The commitment to the law and sort of reading it and seeking to understand. That is, I think, part of what growing in Christ means. It's not all of it, but studying the laws and seeking to understand them and taking seriously what they say is part of being a student and disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's part of how we grow in Christ. And so it's an important part of us. And Ezra is leading the Israelites to recapture and reread and recommit to reading the Scriptures and following the commands of God. Let's go further. We're going to skip down to verse 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. One thing that I think that we miss about studying Scripture is how in the Old Testament it was something to fall in love with, the commands of God. Not something to be a checklist that we put as part of our day that, okay, we check that off, we read three verses, now we can move on. And we often, we excuse ourselves from the reading of Scripture. I've heard people say things, well, like, I'm not much of a reader. I'm not much of a reader. And I think, I've seen you read things on your phone all day long. What's the difference, you know? We say things like, well, we just don't have the time. I'm guilty of this one. But why would we want to be so busy that we don't prioritize growth by studying the words of God? And so it's important for us to not let those excuses happen, to not let it get out of the way, but instead of seeing this as a task to fulfill, to see it as falling in love with Scripture again. I mean, the Israelites are up there and they're praising and saying, Amen, Amen. And he's not even preaching a funny sermon. He's just reading the Scripture as it is. And that's amazing to me. They've fallen in love with the commands of God. And so I want us to find ways in our lives to re-fall in love with Scripture and the commands of God. Because it's not about something to check off of our checklist. And we can't use excuses like we don't read that much. But we need to fall in love with Scripture. It's a heart move. And it's not just Scripture. We can also read good sources of others who write about Scripture to help us understand it better. That would be not social media posts. And not everyone needs to be this academic level theologian who could write papers. It's okay to have different personalities and different orientations in life in that sense. We don't all have to be high level theologians, but we all need to be pursuing God as much as He pursues us. And one of the ways we pursue God is by understanding what He said. And so the study of Scripture becomes not even so much a discipline, but a heart issue of pursuing and loving God with all of our hearts. Until we can stand in that crowd and say, Amen, Amen. Keep reading. Moving down a little ways to verse 7. The Levites, and guys, I really, really thought about just leaving this out of the passage. You see how many names there are? I'm going to do my best, and I want you guys to just encourage me that I read this correctly, okay? I've been to a lot of school, but, you know, It's always difficult to pronounce these names. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Shabiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah. Thank you. All of those people, the Levites, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that people understood what was being read. So another aspect of reading and growing in Christ is actually understanding what you're reading so that you can grow in Christ. And one thing that should be obvious, but that maybe we don't say enough, is that Scripture is hard. I mean, it's difficult. When you think about what you're holding in your hand, this thing was written in three different languages over centuries by 40-some different authors in different genres. And it's got historical context, very different from ours, prophecies and layers of meaning and connecting back to earlier things. And to think that we would pick this up and just understand it that quickly would be to overestimate our own ability to read. This is difficult. And it's okay to admit that. It's difficult to read it well. And so gaining the best understanding we can is a task that is a lifelong pursuit of how to find the resources and the studies and different things that will help us understand it better. And another thing that I want to point out about this passage is that notice that when they read the Scriptures, they are not doing it alone. Now, I'm not saying that reading Scriptures alone is bad. In fact, it's great. But notice that in this context, it's done with other people. And the Levites, the people best trained, are standing around and helping them understand what it says. Which suggests to me that sometimes we as people understand Scripture better when we read it in groups. When we can bounce ideas off of one another, share life experiences. And when those trained in the study and interpretation can help others dig a little bit deeper. It is difficult to read the Bible well. So why should we always do it alone? And so here we like to ask people to not only listen on Sunday morning and not only read your Bibles at home, but occasionally get together with a group of people and read the Bible and share life experiences together. In fact, you may understand a lot more, and it may become clearer to you. Because truth be told, we learn better that way in many cases. And so I wanted to go ahead and give you the heads up that we are starting growth groups again here in the new year. We are going to start Wednesday night Bible studies again, and I'm going to give you more information about that. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to even have... we're going to have other groups starting again, so there'll be plenty of opportunities. The last thing I want to say about this is it is important to study the Bible by ourselves. Just know that there are more resources out there than there have ever been in the history of the world to help you understand the Bible well. So take advantage of those. Find good sources. If you're not sure which ones are good, come ask someone who would know. Ask me. I'll try to help you out. Beyond that, find a translation that is understandable to you. Most of the translations out there are relatively good. Every translation makes some decisions about interpretation from you because you're not reading it in the original language. There's no way around that. And there are some that you need to know the difference in a translation and a paraphrase. A paraphrase is paraphrasing. It's not a full direct translation. And so be careful of that sort of thing, but find one that's understandable to you. We don't all have to read it in the King James, and we definitely don't all need to read it in the Message. And it might even be best to read several translations so you can get the nuances that the translators may have decided for you. Last thing I actually was noticing here in the footnote, when it says that the Levites made it clear to them so they understood, most likely that's a reference to translating it for them. And so it's not wrong to utilize those resources so that we can understand what we're reading. So we're talking about growing in Christ. We're looking at what the Israelites did in their reboot from the exile, building again. They built the altar to connect with God. They're now rereading the law and trying to understand it, make it clear to everyone. And so they're committed to growing in that sense. And then the last step, maybe the most important one of all, is obedience to what they're reading. So we keep going, right? Chapter 8, jumping down to verse 13. It says, on the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the teacher to give attention to the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month. And that they should proclaim this word. I skipped verse 15, jumped down to 16. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from the exile built temporary shelters and lived in them from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, that is right after Moses, the one who followed up Moses, until that day the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Okay. Now, a lot of that is foreign to us. This has to do with a Jewish holiday, a holy day called the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. None of that is particularly important to us right at this moment. What is important is that they read something in the law and then they did it. What a novel approach, right? To read Scripture and then put it into practice. Because it's not enough to grow simply by reading about God. We have to become obedient for it to actually mean anything. It's easy to learn about God without really applying His teaching. Obedience is where the rubber meets the road, where Christ grows us in our faith. We can't grow without being obedient. Our knowledge will, but our relationship with God will stay the same. Unless the things we study become the things we practice. Obedience is an unpopular idea. It takes something from us. It takes control from us to feel like we are being obedient to something bigger than us. And that's hard for us to let go of, which is part of why obedience is so important. Study gets you to the water, but obedience is when you choose to drink. When you follow what it says and put it into practice and do something different in life. Because it is only in that way that we truly grow, not just in our knowledge, but in our relationship with Him. So I want to make a couple of observations before we kind of stop with this portion. Number one, I want you to notice again the context. We talked about the Israelites after they went into exile and Cyrus, remember, took over and proclaimed they could go back and sort of rebuild the city. And they do, and they get there. But what I want you to realize is that in its context, the Israelites are growing the most through hardship and difficult times. Have you ever noticed in your life that sometimes your relationship with God grows more when things are hard than when things are easy? This certainly seems to be the case with the Israelites. I mean, they went through a lot of times in which God blessed them, and they went through times when God punished them. But it was through the exile that Judaism really became Judaism, when the people recommitted to the Word and to Scripture and to following the commands of God. And so, in a very real way, it is our hardships that allow us to grow the most. And that is one of the things that God uses to grow us in Christ. Maybe part of the reason that God doesn't always rescue us from the things that happen to us is because He wants to help us through it rather than allow us to avoid it. He wants it to create in us the sort of person that He wants us to be. and allow that spiritual growth to happen. What is the phrase? Something like calm seas make weak sailors. But it's in our hardships in life, when we choose to remain faithful despite all of it, that we grow the most as people and as followers of God. And so growing in Christ is not just study. It's study, it's obedience, and it's faithfulness when it's the hardest. All of that together is how we grow in faith. And the second observation that I want to make is one I was not planning on doing. I had this thing all set up to make it work out nicely. You know, we're doing our reboot of the mission. We're doing connecting with God last week, growing in Christ this week, and serving others next week to sort of remind ourselves of why we do all of this and everything. It all worked out that next week we were going to talk about serving others, and part of that discussion was going to be tithes and offerings, giving to the church. Always everyone's favorite topic to discuss. And I thought, well, that would make sense to put tithing and offering under serving others, because obviously we give to missions that help people in other places. We give money to benevolence to serve our community, and we serve our community in programs like Family Promise and First Family Share. And all those require giving in order to be able to serve others effectively. And so I had it all worked out neatly in my brain, and then God came in and challenged me. I said, on this issue of the tithing and giving, does it really fall under the category of serving others, or does it fall under the category of growth, growing in Christ? So let me just bring you around to this. Giving regularly to our church is actually more about growth, I think, than anything else. God doesn't need our money in one sense, and a lot of the things that our offering goes towards are pretty ordinary. Things like air conditioning and electricity, which I appreciate. But really, giving regularly is more about trusting God with the things He's given us than anything else in the world. Like when the Israelites were given the command to not work on one whole day of the week, and they looked up to heaven, they were like, God, I'm trying to feed a family here. How can I take one of every 7 days off? And the same thing happens when we start to let go of what God has already given us. It's a statement of trust that God will provide. It's worship, because it declares that He already owns all those things, and we just get to manage it out of His discretion for as long as He lets us to help other people. And giving, when it's difficult, when it's hard, when it hurts a little bit to give that up, allows us to truly grow when we see God come through for us in other ways. It's a faith challenge. It's a practice that tests and grows and develops us as people who trust and believe in God. Which is why I really do think it's as much about growth as it is about serving others. Maybe even more. Giving is helpful in serving others, but service is often more about our time and our thoughtfulness anyway. I suspect that the command to give is more about growing in Christ and does more for the giver than for anyone else. And speaking of that aspect of obedience, it's the putting what you learn into practice and growing through that experience where the rubber meets the road. I will say I'm not pulling this out of context. The Bible does address this issue not very far after the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. A prophet comes along by the name of Malachi, who's speaking to that same community, rebuilding after the exile, trying to get started again. In Malachi chapter 3, he writes these very famous words. He says, "Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me?" Strong language. Stronger than I'm comfortable with, to be honest with you. "But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now, let me just clarify one thing. You know those health and wealth preachers who stand up and tell you, you'll be so blessed if you give $5 to my new private jet. I am not that guy. I promise you with all my heart I'm not that guy. I don't even like talking about these things. But I feel like I have to be faithful in what Scripture says. And if I'm going to mention it at some point in our mission, the importance of giving, I think it has to fall under growth and not service. Because it grows us in our faith. And God invites the challenge to test Him and see if it won't in fact grow His faith, if He will come through for you in those times. I wanted to throw that out there because I felt it was on my mind and on my heart that I had to mention that portion. So finally, here we are talking about being in a time of rebooting in the new year, restarting our mission, same missions we've always had about connecting with God better, growing in Christ more, and serving others more, which we're going to talk about more next week. But here, in this context, how do we apply what we've learned? Reading through, of course, the story of the Israelites, here's a couple of things. One way that we want to grow in Christ is by reading Scripture. And for those who are kind of getting started, or maybe who have lost the importance of this, I would say read Scripture with a focus on rhythm and consistency. All disciplines are about having a rhythm in your life, in which there's a natural time every day for it to fit in. And that rhythm and that consistency is what allows us to make gains and do better and grow in whatever task we take on. And the same is true with Scripture. Sort of the rule of thumb I used early on in my life, not necessarily for everyone, but for me, I tried to make sure early on that I read a chapter a day. A chapter a day. You can get through the whole New Testament in well under a year with just a chapter a day. And practice that consistency and that rhythm. For those who maybe have been reading Scripture a little bit longer or have got a little bit of rhythm, my challenge to you would be to read larger chunks of it. We have this tendency sometimes to read devotions that might pull out one, two, or three verses. And those are great and they allow you to really dig in there and search for the meaning. But if you really want to understand what the Bible is saying, it often helps to read larger chunks. Like read an entire New Testament book. Or read in Genesis an entire narrative of Abraham or the entire narrative of Joseph. And by doing that, it allows us to better follow the context and the story and the big picture ideas and to understand the themes that go throughout Scripture and how it all ties together. And the more that we can allow ourselves to read the narratives in their larger context, the better understanding we will have of what it actually says. And the less likely we will be to take it out of context. And so if you're more experienced, I'd encourage you to read larger chunks. Number three, please commit at some point to being a part of a study that meets outside of Sunday morning at 10 a.m. here in this sanctuary. Just one other group or activity or thing every week to allow you to get together with other people in a group, bounce ideas off of, and grow in your faith in that sense. A couple of things to let you know. So, we have started the new year, and I want you to know that on January the 17th, that is not next week, but the week after, did I get that right? You're nodding your heads, okay. January 17th is going to be a big day for us. We're sort of shooting for this day to be a day which we kind of relaunch some of the things that our church has done in the past that we haven't been able to do as much lately. Now, if something comes up in COVID and we have to change that plan, that's fine. But a couple of things we want to do again on the 17th. We're going to try to have junior church available so that your kids, elementary age and down, will have some place to go during the service where they can learn about Christ and learn about the Bible in a context appropriate to them. We're going to have more greeters and a fit team or some version of it to greet people as they walk in the door. We're going to have bulletins. Anyone excited about bulletins? I ordered them this week. You would not imagine what a headache it was. But we got bulletins. On the 17th, we're going to... anyone know Wendy Ledbetter in the Singles and Service Ministry? Every time she calls me on the phone, she says, "Hello, this is Wendy Ledbetter from Singles and Service." Yes, Wendy, I know you. I run the Singles and Service ministry in the church. If you're watching, Wendy, I love you. I know that she wants to start back her class at 9 a.m. on that on Sunday the 17th. We will start our Wednesday night Bible studies, of course, not on Sunday, but on the 13th, right before that. And so we'll continue our church history study for the adults and the youth. We'll have their activities again. And that will also be the time in which we will sort of be beginning again our growth groups that have taken a little bit of time off or maybe met once. They will officially begin after Sunday the 17th. With all that in mind, I just want to raise some excitement and some energy. I know that COVID is stressful right now. We don't want to do anything that is unwise, but we are trying our best to get a little bit of normalcy and excitement back in the church. And so all that goes back to committing to something else besides just Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Number four, another way of growing, focus on applying the word when you read it. It is one thing to try to understand it. It's another thing to understand what it means now. That's a difficult step, but take time to think about that. And every time you read the Bible, wonder, what is the next step in this? Number five, remember to stay faithful in hard times. God always grows people the most when it's difficult because we rely on Him more in those moments. And so if you're going through one of those difficult times, remember to stay faithful in that difficult time because that is literally creating in you a more mature person in Jesus. And finally, I didn't get it up there because I ran out of space, but consider your attitude toward giving and tithing to the church. Our church has been blessed. I have zero complaints. People have been very faithful, honest to goodness. And I'm so grateful for that. But all of us individually want to do our best to consider our obedience on that issue and how God wants to grow us in our obedience on all issues. So, with that in mind, always want to bring everything back to Jesus. Because it's not just growing in faith in God generically. It's growing in Christ. And it's Christ who taught us what it means to be mature in the faith, who modeled for us the kind of life we should live. And it is His life we're trying to follow and learn from. So never forget that the person we claim to want to imitate was bullied and beaten and forgotten and cast aside. What we choose is the narrow way. And the more we grow in our faith, the more narrow it might become. And be okay with that. Because the God of the universe gave us a model and asked us to grow, not just in a belief in God, but in a conviction that His Son is Lord and Savior of the world. That is what we grow in. God, I thank You for a chance to share Your words. There's nothing about me that inherently makes it so that I have the right to get up and read Your word to others. In fact, that is beyond me. And I don't take for granted what a big task that is. And I just pray that when I do read these words, that I do it with humility and an honest effort to know You more. And I pray, God, that everyone here is impacted by these, that they will think about it during the week, and that they will challenge themselves and be inspired to reboot their relationship with You if it's been a little bit forgotten. And that they will commit to study and understanding and to obedience and to growth. And I pray that our church will be inspired and energized to reclaim and reboot this mission, that we might have more impact in our community and those around us, helping them connect with God, and then, once they're in, helping them grow in their faith. Help us, God, to be instruments of that mission, which is always the same everywhere, to impact the world for you. We thank you and love you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we just come before you this morning. We're so thankful for what you did on the cross through Christ. We pray, Lord, that as we remember that today, right this moment, that you'll meet with each and every one of us. Speak to our hearts. And Father, if there's someone sitting out there in the church or in their home watching the live stream that doesn't know you, Father, I just pray that they will contact us and let us know that they want to know you and they want to have a relationship with you so that they will know what it means to do what we're getting ready to do. A moment to just reflect on the cross, Christ's body being broken and his blood being spilled for us so that we can have eternal life. As we remember, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.